Good morning to y'all. Whoa. I don't like that. Father's Day is what today is. I'm not sure why I got, and I'm not going to have the whole sermon here, so don't get too excited. I'm just supposed to speak for 10 or 15 minutes here, but I'm not sure why I couldn't speak on a Groundhog Day or something. That way my emotions wouldn't get the best of me, but I'm going to do my best to get through this. Mike asked me just to share a few minutes, and he said I can choose whatever topic I wanted, and my mind just kept coming back to Father's Day. And some of the things that were shared this morning kind of go along with what some of the things that I have been looking into a little bit. Some of the questions that kept coming back to me is, what is Father's Day? And what does it mean to you as a father, as a mother? You know, when you think of Father's Day, what's the first thing you think of? You know, is it, as fathers, is it, you know, is it a day that we can say, well, this is kind of my day off, you know? We have Mother's Day, and the dads kind of do the stuff for moms, and then now today's Father's Day, so this is kind of my day to sit back and relax. Or do we think more about our own fathers? And each and every one of us comes from a different background. Some of us had godly fathers in our lives. Some of us did not. Some of us had a father that was that we grew up with a father our whole life. Others did not. And Father's Day is a celebration honoring fathers, paternal bonds, and the influence of fathers in society. And when you think about that last part, fathers, or the lack of fathers, have a huge impact and influence on our society. If you think about, I did some digging a little bit, and I found this one little fact here that was quite shocking to me. And this was a survey that was done back in 2012, so it's probably actually worse now than it was 3 years ago. But it says, fathers are fast disappearing from American homes, and one in three children, or approximately 15 million, live without one, according to the U.S. Census. If you think about that, go down the line on these benches, and every third person you get to may not know where their father is. Like I said, this is going to be rough. And if you think about some of the evil things that go on in our nation today, a lot of those you can look back, and it has a lot to do with the lack of a father figure in the home. And when I think about that, you know, you have dads that have children from who knows how many different mothers, and they're probably not with, a lot of them aren't even with any of their children's mothers. It breaks my heart to think about that. And then you got people like the guy that's been in the news a lot the last while, who was born a man, who's lived all his life as a man. He's got children. He's supposed to be a father. But yet he wants to be a woman. Stuff like that makes me sick to my stomach. A father's love contributes as much and sometimes more to a child's development as does a mother's love. That is one of the many findings in a new large-scale analysis of research about the power of parental rejection and acceptance in shaping our personalities as children and into adulthood. A father has a tremendous impact on a child. Sometimes it seems like, and I know for myself, my son's not even 2 years old yet, and some days it feels like you're just beating your head against the wall. I mean, you tell him the same thing over and over and over again, and yet sometimes I wonder, you know, is it worth it? But then you start seeing just little things, you know, things that you've been teaching him. All of a sudden they start coming out. And you know, it's not always just what we say. They pick up on everything that we do. I mean, whether it's the one day we were driving down the road and I had something in my throat and I was clearing my throat. Didn't say anything. And about 10 seconds later, he's in the back trying to clear his throat. So they watch and they listen to everything. And when I thought about that, a song came to my mind, actually a couple of them, but this one is one that I'm sure a lot of you have heard it. It's a country song, and it talks about a dad and a boy that are in town. They're driving down the road. They've been to a fast food place. They've got some food, and they're driving home, and all of a sudden the light turns to red in front of them, and the dad has to hit the brakes hard, and the little boy's food and drink just goes everywhere. It says, the dad says, I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. And then he heard his 4-year-old son say a word that shouldn't be said. And so he asked his son, he said, now where did you learn to talk like that? And the little boy says, I'll just read the chorus. He says, I've been watching you, Dad, and ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I want to be like you, and eat all my food, and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camel pants. Yeah, we're just alike, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you. And the song goes on to say that when they got home, the dad was feeling bad about this, and he went out to the barn, and he knelt down and was praying. And he asked the Lord to forgive him and to help his self, his dumb self, you know, from making mistakes like that. And then he says, you know, goes on to say later that night, he was turning on his son's nightlight, and his son crawled out of bed and got down on his knees. And he closed his eyes, and he said he spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And then he asked him, where did you learn to pray like that? And then it goes through the chorus again. So we see, I mean, when we hear that song, we can get some enjoyment out of that, but if you think about the words to that song and what it actually says, and it, they do watch and listen to everything and pick up stuff that you don't think they may not have heard, or you know you may have, you know, you make mistakes from time to time, and trust me, your children are going to know, are going to hear and see those mistakes. But it's what we do with those mistakes afterwards that can make all the difference. And when I think back to my own personal dad, he'd be the first to tell you that he made lots of mistakes. And I seen some of those in my growing up years. And when I think back to my childhood and my teenage years, I didn't always have the best relationship with my dad. And most of it came down to I thought I knew better than he did. I thought I knew more than he did. I thought his ideas were dumb. I thought that some of the rules that he made for me were just stupid. Pardon my word, we shouldn't say that word, but they were dumb. As I look back now, I'm doing the same thing. And I learned a long time ago that, you know, we may think that our dad has some of the dumbest rules. You know, why do I have to be home by 11 o'clock? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? So-and-so doesn't have to do that. But a father has to set guidelines. And there's a verse in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And I like what the commentary said in my Bible here. It says, "The purpose of parental discipline is to help children grow, not to hurt or discourage them. Parenting is not easy. It takes lots of patience to raise children in a loving, Christ-honoring manner. But frustration and anger should not be cause for discipline. Instead, parents should act in love, treating their children as Jesus treats the people he loves. This is vital to children's development and to their understanding of the Lord." So even though sometimes it seems like, you know, some days with our son, it seems like we punish him so many times. I mean, it's just over and over and over again. And one thing that I struggle with sometimes is responding in the wrong way. I respond in anger sometimes, and I've had to tell him I'm sorry already, even though he doesn't know doesn't really grasp what it means yet. I still feel like I have to, because he saw the bad side, so he needs to see the other side too. And just as a parting comment, I just want to encourage you as fathers, and especially, you know, like John said this morning, you foster parents have a huge opportunity to impact a child that is not your own. You know, that most times those children have no dad. A lot of them don't even have a mother that wants them. And you have a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous opportunity to be a dad, to give that child something that they've never felt, to give that child something that they need in their life if they want to succeed. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of children that grew up without a dad in their home that turn out to be just fine. But as the percentages are not very good in their favor. So as I conclude, I just want to leave you with that challenge today. Love your children. You're going to make mistakes, but make things right with them. Don't leave stuff unsaid. And thank you all for listening.
Sharing your heart this morning. Real challenge for all of us as fathers. Really been blessed to be here this morning. Enjoying hearing everybody share what's going on in your life. The next part here, I've asked some of the mothers if they would have their children write out a few things about their dad. So if you're going to be doing that this morning, you can kind of come sit over here. Maybe on both sides, it's fine. And we'll just have you take turns coming up and reading your little notes, okay? You guys ready for that? Got purple here. All right, so we're going to have Erica and Brandon go first.
My dad is the best dad ever because he plays with me.
Nice.
My dad is the best dad ever because
He plays football with me. He teaches me things like basketball.
Isaiah, Bessie, you can come.
I like when my dad takes me golfing and spends time with me.
I love you, Dad. I love when you hug me. I love when you ride skaters with me. You are the best dad ever. My dad cares for me, and he's very nice to me. I like when he does fun things with me. I don't know who could have a better dad than the one I already have.
I love my dad because he is so nice. He teaches me how to fish. He is the best dad in the world.
Dear Dad, I think you are the best dad in the world. You are funny, smart, and just all around cool. He is always willing to take us to lunch. He coaches me in baseball and loves to watch me play. And that is why he is easily the best dad in the world.
My dad is smart and funny, and he takes us out to eat sometimes, and he teaches us to go fishing, and he is the best dad in the whole wide world.
Good job.
My dad is the best. He plays with us, and he's always there for me.
You give us rides on your rocket, and every day you give us a snack. We like when you make us cold coffee, and you like hot coffee, and you make the bugs go away so we can have a fun day. I love you, Dad, Max, and Lindsay.
All right, good job. All right, is everyone on this side?
My dad, Autumn.
There are many reasons why I love my dad, but I will only name a few. He works hard to take care of my family. I know he loves Jesus and takes time to teach me about him. He also takes time to pump up my back tires and ride bike with us. My dad gives us his time, but most of all, I love my dad because I know he loves me. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you.
Is there everybody? All right, thank you, guys. Y'all can go back. All right, is there anybody else that would like to share yet? Just a few more minutes here. I have a question this morning. Are you a successful father? And I guess I'm going to be talking to the fathers just a little bit here. And how do you answer that question? Are you a successful father? I have a huge privilege of being a dad. And do I always get it right? No, I don't. None of us do. But if we would look at the way the world views success, I think it's a little bit different than, as Christians, what we would call success. You know, Clayton mentioned, and it's been mentioned other times this morning, about so many children that don't have a dad. And there's quite a few children that maybe have a dad at home, but he's not involved. Maybe dad tries to buy things for them, for his children. And I don't know if you noticed a pattern this morning, but most of the things that were mentioned here were involved with taking time for your children. And that's kind of what I wanted to hit on this morning was, in my opinion, spending time with your children is the key here. And Christ first in your life is going to be the top priority. And as Clayton said, you know, they're going to be watching us. When you get up in the morning, I often think about this. You know, how often do my children, when they wake up and come out, do they find me reading my Bible or find me praying? We shouldn't be ashamed of that. And if they want to crawl up on your lap and join you. But loving God with everything you have, that's going to be essential. The other thing is loving your wife. Being on the same page with your spouse is huge. You know, kids can get really confused if mom and dad don't agree on things. And also just, you know, allowing them to see you express love towards your wife. For them to see that it means a lot. How do we spend time with our children? There's a story here, a little story, and I want to read it. You guys have probably heard this. I had heard it a while back. But it just really hit me again. It says, a man came home from work late, tired and irritated, to find his 5-year-old son waiting for him at the door. Daddy, may I ask you a question? Yeah, sure, what is it? Replied the man. Daddy, how much do you make an hour? That's none of your business. Why do you ask such a thing? The man said angrily. I just want to know. Please tell me, how much do you make an hour? If you must know, I make $20 an hour. Oh, the little boy replied with his head down. Daddy, may I please borrow $10? The father was furious. If the only reason you ask that is so you can borrow some money to buy a silly toy or some other nonsense, then you march yourself straight to your room and go to bed. Think about why you are being so selfish. I don't work hard every day for such childish frivolities. The little boy quietly went to his room and shut the door. The man sat down and started to get even angrier about the little boy's questions. How dare he ask such questions only to get some money? After about an hour or so, the man had calmed down and started to think. Maybe there was something he really needed to buy with that $10, and he really didn't ask for money very often. The man went to the door of the little boy's room and opened the door. Are you asleep, son? He asked. No, Daddy, I'm awake, replied the boy. I've been thinking. Maybe I was too hard on you earlier, said the man. It's been a long day, and I took out my aggravation on you. Here's the $10 you asked for. The little boy sat straight up smiling. Oh, thank you, Daddy, he yelled. Then reaching under his pillow, he pulled out some crumbled up bills. The man saw the boy already had money, starting to get angry again. The little boy slowly counted out his money and then looked up at his father. Why do you want more money if you already have some? The father grumbled. Because, Daddy, I didn't have enough, but now I do, the boy replied. Daddy, I have $20 now. Can I buy an hour of your time? Please come home early, Depp, tomorrow, and I would like to have dinner with you. Our children desire to be around us and be with us. We have to work, and that's proper. But how much time are you spending at your job? How much time are you spending doing things maybe that you could cut back on and spend more time with your children? And as I was studying for this morning, these are things that was, you know, hitting me, and God was showing me in my own life. And you know, time is a huge thing. And last week with Rick Grubbs here, you know, he mentioned the little poem or whatever about the little boy blue, the man in the moon, and when he coming home, Dad. And you know, our children, they want to be like us. They want to walk in our footsteps. And we have a huge responsibility with them. And the one thing I want to mention too is it's really easy to think sometimes we want to give up. And you know, we face frustrations as parents, and it feels like, you know, discipline doesn't work. We get frustrated and just, so maybe this ain't worth it. But I had to think of the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. And I'm just going to read the last part of that. The prodigal son, it says, the son is, says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This man knew that his son was making a mistake when he asked for his inheritance. But he allowed his son to go through with that. And that's difficult. You know, to allow our children to make mistakes and to stumble along. And as I was studying this, I'm just these things that God was revealing to me. I was kind of tested with them this week. And just yesterday, I was trying to fix my mower. The pulley was messed up, and in my garage, just not a lot of room there. And all three of my boys are right there, and I got my little toolbox out, and they all wanted a tool. And I started getting frustrated because how am I going to fix my mower with all of them right there? And they started banging on things and want to take things apart. And my mower's not new, it's not the latest model, but I wanted to take care of it. But it's just those things that they want to be involved. They want to be around and be a part. The one thing that I think is really important is that we admit our mistakes. I think Clayton mentioned that as well, that when we mess up, we apologize, because how else are they going to learn how to seek forgiveness? As a father, I had to do that, and it's not easy. It's a humbling experience. But again, that goes a long ways in teaching them. Just in closing, I have a verse here, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. And I know as fathers, we can't raise our children, we can't be a good father without our spouse. And we need our wives' support. But as a leader of the home, we need to take courage. We need to be bold. And I heard something on the radio, I'm not even sure who it was that said this, but he encouraged parents to pray with their kids every night before you go to bed, pray that God would give them courage and boldness. And as you think about raising children in today's world, it's scary. The things that we face today in our world, and to think about 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, the things that we could be facing in our world is really frightening to me. And so my prayer has been, when I pray with my boys, is that God would give them courage and boldness to make the right decision, to stand up for truth, even when the consequences may be hard. And that's my prayer for them. And it's my prayer for each one of us here that God would give us courage and boldness to lead out as fathers and to be the men that God has called us to be. Let's pray. And after prayer, we're going to hand out some candy. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for this Father's Day. Thank you for our children. God, you have blessed this church tremendously. The children, and even given us opportunities to go into foster care and bring other children in. And God, I pray that we would not squander those opportunities as parents to train our children. We're not perfect. We don't have it all together. And there's going to be times we feel like we failed. But God, I pray that we would rely on your strength and that we would seek your guidance each day and seek to live lives that are pleasing to you, God, that are honoring to you, that our children may follow in our footsteps. I just pray a blessing upon each father here this morning. Would you go before us, God? Would you lead us? In Jesus' name, amen.